of them were just kind of lazy. When you talked about leaving their jobs and quitting everything that they were doing, am I not doing something right here? Okay, there we're good to go, thank you. And so there was a lot of people who were just sitting around living off of other people, and they were just plain lazy is what they were doing. So Paul spoke pretty directly to that. And then unfortunately there was some immorality going on within the church itself. And yet he said some pretty positive things about this church, but they had some big problems. There were deep theological divisions. And they didn't just simply say, well, we are happy to live with our differences, but they were very, very contentious about it. And then there was a lot of criticism, just daily criticism among one another. And yet, he says in verse 11, in chapter 5, just sort of a quick summary of a lot of things overall that he was saying to the church. He said, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, I have kind of wondered about that, because if they had all of these problems, all of these things going on in that church, and yet he said to them, encourage one another just as you have been doing. Now, he mentioned... Stay over here. Then turn this one off and I'll stay behind the pulpit. All right. That limits my style a little bit, but anyways. Back to the word encourage. He comes over that over and over again throughout this book. And I want to pick that up with you today, because I think that is my lead-in for what I have been observing of you as a congregation in the last 5 months. You are an encouraging group of people. Thank God we don't have all of these other problems that the church at Thessalonica had. I think Paul would write a very positive letter to us if he were writing a letter to the church at Oak Grove Mennonite Church. But let me back up just a little bit and say, I have thoroughly enjoyed these 5 months learning to know you. And I want to make an apology right up front. I have made a real pest of myself for some of you, calling and saying, I'd like to visit with you. As a matter of fact, Simon and Arlene, my apologies to them. I called them while they were even still traveling on the road back from Florida. They said, can't you wait till we get home? I apologize for that. My goal was to make a contact with as many individual and family units as possible, to learn to know you, to be able to listen with impartial ears, just simply to sort of get a sense of who you are as a congregation. And we people, persons, we enjoy making a connection, an emotional connection. And in order to do that, we really do need to have a face-to-face, sit-down talk and learn to know you. And I had prepared these 7 questions that I bugged you about all these months. I'm not going to say another word about them, but if you have any that you still want to return, you may, but I have already tabulated the results of them and so forth. But it was just a way of helping us to learn to know one another. But at any rate, I've enjoyed this time visiting among you, and you have been very gracious with me. You have given me your attention, you've given me your time, you've gathered as families, you've made space in your busy calendars to talk with me, but most important, you have been very honest with me. You have given me your trust, and I thank you for that, and for that I am deeply grateful. So this morning, we want to look at sort of this report of who we are as a church. And then next Sunday, we'll be looking at sort of a direction that we want to go in the future. And I will tell you right now, there will be a lot of overlap. What we talk about next week will be sort of an extension of some of the things we talk about today. But there's good reason for doing that, and I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. I've had 54 return of these written, the seven questions. I've gotten 54 responses. And in the individual family and contacts, family and couple individual contacts, I've had about 75 out of a potential 92. Now, I looked at the register, I looked at the boxes, I looked at all the different things, and I've a potential 92 different family units. Some adults are still living at home and so forth, but approximately 75 of 92, which is about an 80% or a little over 80%. And I want to thank you for that. Cliff Brubaker, who has done transitional work quite a bit, says that's a very positive return. So I want to commend you as a people that you have cooperated very well with that and have given me a good hearing. The reason we've done this is that in this time of transition, we can stop, take a deep breath, and look at who we are so that a search committee would have something tangible to sort of work with as they start their discerning about what we would look for in the next pastor, and that any potential pastor would have a quick sort of a snapshot of who the congregation is and what the pulse beat of the congregation might be. And furthermore, it gives opportunity to discuss or decide any changes we want to make for the future. And right now is a very strategic time in the life of a congregation. When we're looking for a pastor, we can say, we would like to chart a new or a different course, but this is your decision as a congregation. And I will say personally, as I was a pastor, would be called to a certain place, I would say, I would like to know that you as a congregation have set a course. You have charted a course for your future, that you know what direction you want to go. But invariably, churches would say, oh, well, we'll wait till we get a new pastor and see what he wants to do. And I would suggest to you that that's not the best way to go. So part of the reason that we're looking at this, taking a look at ourselves and deciding what we want to do in the future is that we as a congregation can make some of those decisions before we start looking for a pastor. And then lastly, my report today and next week helps us to see the church as a whole, because any one person in the congregation does not have a sort of a sense of the pulse of the whole congregation. It's just impossible for any one person to understand all perspectives and where the congregation is. So I will be reading my report this morning. It's a one page like this, and copies of this will be in your mailbox at the end of the service today, as well as ushers will be here at the doors giving them to you as you leave. So you will have a written copy of it. Don't worry about taking notes. You'll have a chance to look at it. And we are asking that in all the adult classes, you take today and next Sunday to discuss what I present and to give us feedback. Please, somebody take notes, because the elders are desiring that we have some feedback on this whole process. I want you, as in Sunday school classes, to say, did Andy hear us correctly? Now, as impartial as I try to be, I know my own biases always get in the way. So I would like to know, give me some feedback. Give us as elders feedback. Did I hear you correctly? Did I miss something major? Do you agree or disagree? And as a matter of fact, you don't have to agree with everything, because not everybody experiences the congregation in the same way. That's true of any group experience. Every individual in a group experiences the group differently. And so what may be true for some people may not be true for you, and vice versa. So don't worry about that. And lastly, my report tries to give voice to the themes that I heard, and not necessarily every one individual response that you gave. I tried to pick up the themes that I heard, and not necessarily that everyone individually was represented. So let me jump in. Let me read through this fairly quickly, and you will have time then in the Sunday school class to digest it. The first thing that I heard, and this is divided into three sections. The first is very, very strong affirmations, a very strong response of all of these 9 points from many, many people. The second category is an affirmation that was less strong, that was not necessarily as high a percentage, but they were still there. And the last section has to do with some pain that I heard, because in every situation, there will be pain. Not everybody experiences the group in the same way. And as you remember the book of Acts, there was pain even in the life of the new church. Some people didn't feel they were being ministered to like others. So that's inevitable, that there will be painful experiences by some persons in the congregation. So let's jump in. Number one, the first overriding theme is tied to the word of encouragement. Therefore, encourage one another. We as a congregation are very encouraging and caring for each other. In all of our crisis or needs or any situation, we are there, we encourage and care for each other. You've told me multiple situations in which people in the congregation have cared for you in a time of need. And I want to commend you as a congregation. This is a hallmark for you as a congregation, that you care deeply for one another, and that you are family for one another, as we were singing this morning. And thank you, Marilyn, for choosing that song, because we are as a family together, that we care together and for one another as a group, and the bonds of love. We highly value the adult Sunday school class participation. I learned very quickly that adult Sunday school classes are one of the main pillars of the life of this congregation. It provides a small group setting for us in which we can have acceptance and discussion, as well as long-time friendships. Many people have said we've been in this class for 40 years, and we sort of stayed together as a small group. There's been strong affirmation for the children's ministry, for Christian education, biblical instruction and training, Bible quizzing, Bible bonanza, mentoring program, and so forth. The adult small fellowship groups, discipleship training, care groups, missional training, all of these kind of things, many of you commented about how meaningful these small groups are. I heard overwhelming response for the excellent music program in our church. We have many gifted, musically gifted people, and many people involved in the music ministry. And overall, there is appreciation for the balance and blend of the style in our worship music. VBS program has been a hallmark of Oak Grove Mennonite Church historically. And you said for many generations, and there are stories about people literally, I think I heard you say, by the hundreds came in years past for Bible school and many outreach into the community. The strong youth group ministry, opportunities for service and learning and involvement in the national conventions and work service projects and the mentoring program as well. We have many gifted professional people giving leadership, as well as people who are just common ordinary people but in leadership positions, and we trust our leadership. And I want you to hear me say that. Not all churches trust their leadership. But I've sensed a very strong trust among you for the leadership. And we are well organized. Folks, you don't know how well organized you are. I know many other churches, And I know many church situations. Oak Grove is well organized. And lastly, we have strong support for missions across the street and around the world. Missions and support for missions was strongly affirmed throughout my visits. The second category now are things that I heard a lot of, but they weren't quite as strong as the first group. We appreciate the emotional and financial support for our college students and young adults in service and ministry nationally and around the world. And other people, Carla last week mentioned that as well, of even in the current setting and throughout the past, we have been supportive of our young people in ministry and service opportunities. Oak Grove Church has historically been a generous church. We've been supportive of conference and denominational ministries and programs. We have strong financial support of our local church programs and ministries. And we are seeing that now with the flood and the flood relief. God has blessed us as a congregation, and we are thankful for that. But God has blessed us in order that we might be a blessing to others. And now I want to repeat also my personal observation is that the recent flood and the opportunities for service coming out of that is a golden opportunity for us as a congregation to have a generous spirit of love and an outpouring of God's love and grace into our community. Let's not miss that. We have many foster and adoptive families and support for each other. We have a stability of strong multi-generational families bringing continuity and support to the congregation, and that is good. A strong biblical preaching and teaching program by pastors and lay leaders alike. There's a strong sense of commitment and a concern for our commitment to Christ and to His church. There's always a desire for greater commitment. It's so easy. We all live in a cultural context, and we have all the pressures from culture around us that sort of pull and pull us down in our commitment to Christ and His church. But we have a strong commitment in this church, and I hope we can keep working on that. Our leadership has handled controversial issues fairly and have been good listeners to all perspectives and opinions. We've maintained a good theologically conservative stance and yet been able to transition away from the rigid legalistic background of some 70 and 75 years ago. We are much more gracious now, more flexible and open to others coming into our group. Thank God we have been able to transition out of that strong legalism of the past that drove people away. And I heard some painful stories about many in that generation around World War II who were driven away from the church, and a loss that we have felt. We seem to be, in summary of these things, we seem to be pretty emotionally healthy group, not burdened with much systemic anxiety. Now, I talked in January in the first couple of messages about anxiety. And I'll confess, I sort of expected to hear a lot of systemic anxiety about a pastor change. A pastor has been here for 16 years. There's going to be some anxiety about transitioning when that pastor leaves. And we sort of say, we're so accustomed and used to doing things the way Pastor Dick did. What's going to happen now? But you know what? I would agree with the observation that many of you made that said, yes, we miss Pastor Dick and we miss his presence among us and leadership in the church. But we're okay. We will do just fine. God will give us direction, and we can trust God for our future. And so I want to just simply say, that's a strong statement that says, we basically are a pretty healthy, emotionally and spiritually healthy group. All right? We have unity in our diversity and our differences of opinions. And I want you to know that it's more important to have unity rather than uniformity. That's what legalism was all about. the uniformity. Today, I think we need to stress our unity in Christ, even though we may have differences of opinion and idea and theology, yet we can get along and have a unity in the body of Christ. Now, let me look at some painful things, and then I'll be done. And then we can have the closing, and we'll have our Sunday school hour. Number one, we have grief over the fact that so many persons and families have chosen to leave our congregation in the past several years. Their leaving has been painful and not always clearly understood. Number two, we understand the reasoning for going back to one worship service instead of two, but some have this nostalgia for the informality and the relaxed style of the second service. There is a question about what can be done to keep our young adults involved in our congregation. We wish we could do a better job at keeping our young adults. Although many people or many new persons have coming into the congregation have felt fully accepted and so forth, there are some people who do not feel that full emotional inclusion or acceptance on the part of the congregation due to not coming from traditional Mennonite background or from any faith background of all. Or they are living outside the West Liberty area, or not being part of the inner traditional multi-generational families, or even they may come from different social or cultural background. And there is still a concern that there would be a greater emotional inclusion. Now let me say, first of all, for all these negative, painful things, leadership is aware of these. We have been talking about these things. Elders, church council, worship team, all of the groups have been aware of these concerns, and we are working on them. But let me just say, this is a tension that is a healthy tension. And that it's a healthy tension because it says we are bringing new people in. We are assimilating new people into our group. If we weren't having that tension, we wouldn't be having anyone coming in. No one would be wanting to coming in, and we'd be dead. While we need to continue working on the process of assimilating and including people, we also need to be grateful for the fact that we have people who want to become part of our church. That's vitality, and that means we have a positive group here, and this is true of any group dynamic. Anytime you have new persons joining a group, it always changes the group. And groups don't like to change too much, all right? Groups, once they sort of get things rolling, they want to keep going in that same direction. But when a new person or new persons join, it always changes that group. So I want to say, we are aware of that and we're working on it, but let's just continue to be aware of the fact that those new persons coming in do not know our history and all our background and all our traditions, and so the process of assimilating can be a little bit painful sometimes. Not all people like the meet and greet times that we have during our worship service. Sometimes it seems disruptive of the worshipful flow. Number six, there is significant grief and concern regarding the theological direction of MCUSA and our involvement in the future of the denomination, as well as our support of the institutions. More on this next week. I'll say a little bit more about this next week, but I heard some real concern for the future of our involvement in the denomination. While there are many positive things that can be said about the denomination, there are still some concerns for it. And lastly, there's been some discomfort with the process of filling positions of service in the congregation, sometimes difficulty in recruiting, and the challenge of matching persons' skills and gifts with the service needs. Sometimes there have been areas for which a person may have volunteered but not been asked to serve, and so sometimes we have to keep working on the whole thing of matching people with the service opportunities. Now, let me also say, I've had a number of years of ministry in a lot of different congregations. This has been a challenge in every congregation I've ever been a part of. Because it's a good problem to have, because it says we are having people who want to be involved, and we sometimes don't always have quite the same or quite the exact spot for service for them. And so this is a healthy tension to have, and I just simply bring it to our awareness so that we can be aware of it in the future. I've said enough. You will be receiving copies of this when you leave. Go to your Sunday school classes and discuss it and give us some written feedback, please. As I conclude, I'm going to have a prayer. Ask the team to come and lead us in our response song. Dear Lord, I've tried to squeeze so much into these few minutes. I pray, God, you will fill in the blanks of things that I haven't said or that I in some way have not been able to report accurately. But I pray, oh God, you will help us now as we begin a process of discussing and discerning and taking a look at who we are. Help us, first of all, oh God, to give thanks for all of the things that you have given us, all the people here in this congregation, and the ministry that you have given to us. And help us also to be aware of the fact that we need to keep focused on your mission for us in this community and around the world. Bless our discussion this day and in the weeks and months ahead, for I pray in your name. Amen.